I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to Waiting on Reparations, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to another episode, coming to you live to take from the land that is at the stove. Spit some of my best lines, taking you to the headlines, keeping with the best, try straighten the record for them. Cause I came to play some chess, these niggas thinking to check up for. Taking time, always hollering into a megaphone, but maybe I can catch my breath with the new president. Little hesitant, but I'm watching to see the set unfold.
The rest untold, rappers get their chest exposed. I don't fold, I just break the mold. Homie, you can do what you was told. How the fuck they let Tom Brady reach the Super Bowl? What the hell? Corny people be on some new shit. Bernie the Boogaloo, what the fuck are they stupid? To make a few cents, these people will true grift and get you up on their Patreon. Give them a few cents, fuck that.
Hey,
my name's Dope Knife.
I'm Lingua Franca.
And we are waiting on reparations.
So, Mac, how you've been feeling in the aftermath of the transition presidentially this past week?
To be honest, I've been trying my hardest not to like pay attention to politics for a good amount of time, but I mean, it's unsuccessful. Obviously, I can't help.
I can't imagine how you would do that.
I don't even know
as a person in the 21st century, but like you as a person.
I don't want to describe it as like it's like a train wreck that you can't look away from, because that's not necessarily the case. But there is just. It's like the fucking most interesting show on television at this point, you know? I just keep finding myself going back and wanting to see what's going on this season and feeling like I'm missing stuff each day that I whenever a day goes by that I don't watch the news. But I mean, I don't know. It's a weird, funky feeling. It's like a mixture of being relieved and that kind of, you know, gives a dash of optimism. And then it's a bit of an up and down thing. You know, one day I hear something that Biden's doing that I dig, and then another day I hear something the Democrats are doing that I don't dig. The next day I hear something Biden's doing that I don't dig, and then the next day, oh, it seems like, you know, Chuck Schumer's got a spine. You know what I mean? It's going off and on.
You know, the thing that's really getting to me is that you're not hearing really about what Trump's up to, and it's making me really nervous. Like, I'm scared, like, that he's, like, secretly meeting with the Proud Boys or, like, I don't know. Like, there's some, like, you know, I would prefer to know what my enemies are up to at all times. Maybe that's just me, to, like, keep an eye on them. Like, okay, I can, like, you know, if you're in the woods, you, like, hear footsteps behind you, you're like, what the fuck is that? But, like, if you at least see the bear, you're like, all right, I know where the bear is. If I want to run from the bear, I know what direction to run away from. But if you're just, like, there's just no sign of life. You don't know what direction the enemy could be coming from. That's how I feel with like Trump somewhat out of the news, not like tweeting every day or like doing some fuck shit that he has the power to like destroy all of our lives with.
Weirdly. I think that with what we're talking about today is actually going to be a little bit of a justification of your fears a little bit, because we're going to be talking about these pardons that Trump did on his way out.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, when listeners, when y'all hear us talking about it, I mean, a lot of this stuff, you guys have been heard about this, but I mean, when you hear about the nature of it and just get like the full rundown of it, some of it is so like on its face corrupt that you can only imagine what type of shit Trump is up to without cameras all in his business right now.
I know, man. It freaks me out. I don't feel relieved. I do feel a sense of like I am surprised by like how little disappointment I feel so far about the Biden administration. Like it's, I don't know. I feel like,
it's kind of hard to be worse than the Trump administration.
Yeah. And it's like, that, you know, I kind of like shit on libs being like, oh, you know, it's going to be back to normal. But I guess if you're like getting punched in the face every day for like years, and then you get stopped getting punched in the face, you still need to see a doctor.
Yeah.
Like your jaw is broken and you can't, and you're blinded and like your nose needs reconstruction. But like it feels good to just not be punched in the face anymore.
Well, I mean, as a result of that sort of relief, Biden is experiencing one hell of a honeymoon period. I think he has a 62% approval rating.
Oh, really?
Or something like that. Yeah. And then like across the board, every single aspect of his COVID planning has a 60 plus, you know, approval rating. So because the Trump administration was so horrible, you know, Biden has got a little bit of extra political capital than I think anybody really expected. So, you know, so far it seems like, you know, they're grabbing the bull by the horns. They're taking it. They've got Bernie in there. He's whispering shit in motherfucker's ear, you know, hopefully. And
hopefully.
I mean, obviously, you know, no one wants to, do, you know, fucking kid themselves and act like the Democrats are about to get this shit right or whatever.
I mean,
but
some people are all about kidding themselves.
Well, I mean, I don't
kidding themselves right now.
I don't hate on anybody for being happy, especially if you're a lib. If you're a lib, y'all won. You know what I'm saying? Across the board. So it's like, I get it. I'm not saying I agree with it. It's just, I get it. You know, it's just important that people, I think it's going to come out in the years that pass, is like the more that they really start looking into the things that went down in the Trump administration, not just this tumultuous shit that's been going on, you know, in the post-election, but just throughout it, I think we're going to like get a clear picture of just how close we were to the abyss. You know what I'm saying? On like every front. And I think that will in turn extend, you know, the more that the mainstream media, you know, plays it up and keeps that shit in the face of the American public, I think that'll extend Joe Biden's honeymoon period. You know what I'm saying? If every day you're hearing some horrible shit about like, yo, y'all have no idea how close we were to World War III. You know what I'm saying? Like for real, for real. Or like, yo, the economy like almost crashed like 12 times and none of us knew because they were hiding it, you know, or, you know.
Well, today we're going to talk about the last days of the Trump presidency, notably the presidential pardons of 143 people, but chiefly among those, since we are a hip hop show, those of Kodak Black and Lil Wayne. Talk a little bit about what they've been up to since then.
We're also going to get into some new music, some new songs from Kodak Black and Lil Wayne on their, you know, post-pardon high.
Yeah, as well as new joint by Afro and Talib Kweli. And we're going to just talk a little bit about the first days of the Biden administration, how we're feeling about how it's going in a little more detail, looking at some of his executive orders. And this $1,400 plus $600 bullshit that's been going on as Georgians. As a Georgian, I have a lot to say about it.
We'll be with that right after the jump.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worried he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so before we get into all of this yammering that we're about to do, why don't we, you know, start it off with some additional yammering. Why don't you tell them what exactly is a presidential pardon?
Yeah, let's hit them with a little bit of public policy, you know? So, federal pardon is an action that can be taken by the President of the United States that completely sets aside punishment for federal crime. It's granted by Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1 of the U.S. Constitution. And it's one form of clemency power the president has. So, you know, you can also commute a sentence, you can remiss a fine or restitution for a crime, or grant reprieve. And actually, it's interesting. A person may also decide not to accept a pardon, in which case it doesn't take effect, according to Supreme Court majority opinion in Burdick versus United States. A pardon carries an imputation of guilt and acceptance of a confession of it. So, I mean, if you are pardoned, you are innocent of the crime. It's not simply that your punishment for the crime is no longer carried out.
Under the Constitution, the president's clemency power extends to all federal criminal offenses, except cases of impeachment.
Interesting. Good to know.
You know, you might have heard this before with the whole thing with Trump. So he can't do anything when it comes to state crime. So if you're somebody who's been pardoned and you've done a bunch of stuff that's illegal in the state of Nebraska, Nebraska can still come after your ass, even though federally you're
off the hook.
Is that
also why, like... Never mind. I don't know.
No,
I was going to talk about the fact that, like, oh, they wouldn't prosecute him for anything while he was president. But, like, meanwhile, the, like, you know, NYPA was like, yo, we got, we piling up cases against your ass.
Oh, yeah, New York is going after that ass. Like you were saying that you were worried about what he's up to. Don't worry. Part of it is that he's off doing some evil planning. But there's another good chunk of the reason you haven't heard from him is because his lawyers are telling him to keep his mouth shut. Because there are cases. There's civil and state cases that are being built up right now out the ass. So Trump is not going to be out of the news. Like I was thinking this the other day because I was like, you know, seeing a bunch of thumbnails on YouTube that had him. And I was like, man, why the fuck are people still talking about Trump every day and he's not the president? And then it was like, oh, wait, I've never in my lifetime seen a former president that committed this many crimes leave office. You know what I'm saying?
At least so crimes he's these.
He's going to be in the news for the next 4 years. People just need to get used to that. And that's not necessarily the media trying to keep him in your face. Like, I mean, a president having like 50 cases is a big deal. You would want them to report on that shit.
Yeah. So the full extent of a president's power to pardon is something that's actually not been fully resolved. Pardons have been used for presumptive cases of crime. So like, for example, when President Gerald Ford pardoned Richard Nixon, who hadn't been charged with anything, but just in case he did some crimes connected with Watergate. But the Supreme Court has never considered the legal effectiveness of such pardons. And there's some disagreement about how pardon power applies in cases involving obstruction of an impeachment. So again, impeachment is just sort of like off-limits territory, and we're not really sure.
In theory. Like, all of this shit is in theory.
Yeah. And then the ability for a president to pardon themselves has never been tested in the courts. Because no president's ever tried. Which I'm frankly surprised that Trump didn't just like, I pardon myself for anything. Even though, like we said, we're talking about with like the state of New York, like they're, you know, the state they're coming from, even if he were to federally to pardon himself of like any federal crimes. But
I have a sense that it wouldn't work. I have a sense that if the people who were advising him legally really thought that it could hold up, given that it's never been tested, I think he would have done it. Yeah. There's also speculation of whether secret pardons are possible. And Trump's former consigliere, Michael Cohen, has raised this specter as well. He says he thinks that Trump probably has attempted to do a bunch of secret pardons. Now,
I feel like that man don't know how to keep a secret for his life, so I doubt that. He's like, now, I'm going to do shady, unethical things. I want everybody to know.
Like we've been saying, one of the features of the four unfortunate years of Trump's presidency has been the series of unethical pardons out the gate.
Out the gate.
Starting with the corrupt, racist Arizona sheriff Joe Arpaio in year one. Now, Arpaio had been accused of numerous types of police misconduct, including abuse of power, misuse of funds, failure to investigate sex crimes, criminal negligence, abuse of suspects in custody, improper clearances of cases, unlawful enforcement of immigration laws, and election law violations, all on a sesame seed bun.
It's like a caricature of a police, of like what you think like a sheriff is.
He's like literally causing all the crime.
He's like the number one crime doer of the state of
Arizona. Like, this nigga got Batman after him and shit with this fucking rap
shit. True Joker shit, for real.
Yeah, so that was week one.
Yeah, but on the way out a week ago, Trump put up a dizzying list of last-second pardons, 143, if I'm not mistaken, which added to the dozens he had handed out weeks before. Now, to be fair, there are a number of names, people within this list, that legitimately should no longer be in prison or shouldn't have been there to begin with. And I, you know, pulled a couple of cases here, like Lynn Barney, who was sentenced to 35 months in prison for possessing a firearm as a previously convicted felon after having been convicted for distributing a small amount of marijuana, according to the White House. So, like, had a gun, had committed a crime before, sold some weed. Doesn't sound that bad to me, personally.
There's also David Barron. Trump commuted the sentence of David Barron, who was sentenced to life in prison in addition to 20 years for drug conspiracy charges. In 2017, President Barack Obama commuted his life term to a 30-year sentence.
Look at that bipartisanship.
The White House said Barron is a father of 6 children and has maintained an exemplary prison record. Petition advocating for further clemency for Barron's release has garnered nearly 20,000 signatures.
And then there's Christina Bonenkamp, whose sentence Trump commuted after she served more than 10 years of a 24-year sentence for a nonviolent drug offense. Okay. And so it's stuff like this that to me makes sense of things like the pro-Trump politics of Angela Stanton King. Like, I don't know if y'all know about her, but Stanton King was convicted on a federal conspiracy charge for her participation in a car theft ring, served 2 years in prison, during which time she gave birth to her daughter. In February of last year, Trump granted Stanton King clemency, and she appeared at the White House afterward as part of a roundtable discussion on African-American history. For, you know, African-American History Month. Who calls it that? Oh, God. Okay. Roundtable discussion for Black History Month. And then she went on to make appearances for the Trump campaign at numerous Black Voices for Trump events. And this is the real kicker, she also went on to run as a Republican against then-incumbent John Lewis for Georgia's 5th congressional district seat, and later that year went up against Lewis's appointed successor candidate, Nikema Williams, after his passing. Now, she got 14% of the vote. She supports QAnon. She's anti-LGBTQ. She generally sucks. But she supported the right to vote for anyone released who had a felony conviction after they got released for jail. Restoration of the voting rights. And as well, she supported the First Step Act, which outlawed the handcuffing of women during childbirth, which, you know, she herself claims to have experienced when she was in prison in 2004. She was shackled while giving birth and described her daughter being snatched from her arms 24 hours later. So, like, okay, I'm not trying to give Trump any credit here whatsoever, because fuck him, obviously. But I think this is just, like, an interesting pattern and trajectory, and wonder if we on the left are, like, overlooking shit that could be argued as, like, materially good that people that draw people to the far right. Like, you know, fucking letting, you know, this lady had a baby in jail, and he, you know, offered her clemency, and she was like, yo, that's dope. Hell yeah, I'm a Trump Republican now. Black Voices for Trump, what's up? And, like, you know,
I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I get
like,
it.
You know, when you're somebody, when somebody gives you a chance in a world where nobody gives you a chance, you're going to fuck with them. And so I just, like, worry. I guess more so I'm just, like, worrying about things like this.
Well, no, I mean, and that's, at the end of the day, that's why they do it. And that's why it's, like, usually always disingenuous coming from conservatives, in my opinion. Just because it's, like, I mean, they definitely are quick to do things for, like, an individual, somebody that they know or somebody that they have a relationship with, but they don't think too much in terms of, like, people and doing things for the benefit of people, you know what I'm saying? I always hate going here, but, like, I personally know women from Liberia who escaped the Liberian Civil War who have had a lot worse done to them that don't believe in QAnon at all. <Yeah. laughs> So I'm just saying, it's not, if everybody who was in a difficult situation, and again, just to add to the point that you're making, is like, you got to give credit where credit's due. You know what I'm saying? You can't just boohoo every single thing just because you don't like Trump. So, you know, there was some good that came out of these pardons. There was a lot of good, depending on, you know, how you want to look at it. But despite these corrections to justice, so to speak, there was a smorgasbord of ghouls and goblins and fiends on this pardon list. You seen the Michael Jackson Thriller video? You remember the part when him and the girl are walking and Vincent Price is talking and all the zombies are coming out of, like, the sewers and the alleys and shit and from under the ground? That's how Washington is looking like right now with the fucking pardons that Trump let it out. I mean, you have literal war criminals, mass murderers, 7 corrupt Republican congressmen who were convicted of crimes, including Chris Collins, who was videotaped doing insider trading at the White House. And then Duncan Hunter, Duncan Hunter, who spent campaign funds on his multiple side chicks.
Wow.
And more.
And more.
And with everything in Trump land, you know, Mariah kind of alluded to it earlier. You've got to treat these pardons like they're a serious, like they're serious legal documents. And Trump land is known for its incompetency. So some of the wording on some of these pardons has apparently been so sloppy that it doesn't necessarily leave everybody off of the hook. And some people might be open to further prosecution down the line. Kimberly Well, who's a University of Baltimore law professor, told Business Insider, it says, speaking about the pardons, it says for his convictions, and that's it when referencing someone like Paul Manafort. And that's different from what Richard Nixon wrote in his, which actually had, in quotes, all conceivable crimes instead of just for his convictions.
I mean, so this, like, yeah, wait, you fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're gonna fucking try to, you know, strong arm the office, then you might as well go all the way with it. What the hell is this for his convictions bullshit? If you're gonna be like a fucking master criminal, you'd want to have a little bit more imagination than that. But hopefully, that is the case, and some of these, you know, guys get nailed.
That'd be so sweet. So sweet.
Now, what caught our eyes, you know, this being a hip hop show, obviously, is the pardons of Kodak Black and Lil Wayne.
Yeah, so Kodak was in federal prison after pleading guilty to firearms possession after being detained at the Canadian-American border right around when the pandemic hit last year. He still faces potential prison time after being indicted on a felony charge for first-degree criminal sexual conduct, or allegedly forcing himself onto a woman in 2016. So, like president, like pardoned person.
In a statement / tweet, Kodak said, "I want to thank for the president, Donald Trump, for his commitment to justice reform and shortening my sentence. I also want to thank everyone for their support and love. It means more than you will ever know. I want to continue giving back, learning, and growing."
And can I just say that every word in this tweet is capitalized, and ask, like, the listeners as well as Mac, what it is with, like, hip-hop cats in, like, do you know what I'm talking about, man? Like,
yeah.
Do you see mad people on the TL? Like, I want to thank the president.
I think it's because it looks good when you, like, look at it. When you, like, look at a paragraph like that where every word has a capitalization. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being a weird, like, rapper.
If anybody listening understands where this trend came from,
it looks beautiful.
Let us know. Inquiring minds are desperate for answers.
It's a tweet, so who knows? Maybe it's some Twitter thing I don't know about.
Is your phone auto-correcting? I've just for years been curious about this. I'm like, nigga, where'd you learn how to? Anyway.
Is it out of bounds for me to say that that doesn't seem like Kodak wrote it?
I mean, I don't know the man.
No, I'm just saying, doesn't that seem like a PR thing?
That's probably, his publicist was like, yo, you should probably say this.
Then we had Lil Wayne, who was the second one that we mentioned got pardoned. And Lil Wayne had admitted to weapons charge back in December of last year and was due to be sentenced later this month. He was facing 10 years in jail before Trump swooped in with the cape and the pardon. And he made a statement as well saying, "I want to thank President Trump for recognizing that I have so much more to give to my family, my art, and my community."
Back in October, many months before the pardon, Wayne pissed off a bunch of people by posting a picture of Trump and himself and professing support for 45 ahead of the election in November. The pic was taken after an in-person meeting they had to discuss the administration's platinum plan.
The platinum plan, black people!
Which we discussed in a previous episode. The backlash to it was heavy. People were a little like, the fuck, bro?
You guys heard it on this show.
Though it remains unknown, I would like to see quantitative data on how it has affected the sales and streams, if at all. Because you know what? And I don't know if we really delved too deeply into this ongoing, eternal, even, debate. But, you know, people separate the artist from the art. Like, I still put on, you know, College Dropout, like, whatever, you know, like.
But I mean, people separate the artist from the art, but I think it's all circumstantial. It all depends on what that artist has. It all depends on what you have a problem with based on what you know that or believe that artist did. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I feel like there's also a linkage between social media presence and, like, media and then, like, artistic consumption. So, like, somebody might not be like, I'm gonna intentionally never listen to Lil Wayne again, but they might be pissed off at him and unfollow him on Twitter, which would then lead them to not hear about his new song, which we're about to talk about a little bit. So again, it be like a, it's like a two-step process by which it does negatively impact them financially or, like, in terms of artistic prominence.
But I think with, like, with music especially, you know, you want to, like, you know, you want to feel like you can relate to the music you're listening to. Because, I mean, with a movie, it's different. You could be like, hey, I fuck with Arnold Schwarzenegger even though he's a Republican because he's playing the Terminator. You know what I'm saying? But with, like, with music, especially with hip hop, you know, you want to feel some of that connection that, hey, at the bare minimum, like, I can hang out with this person or this person's, like, someone that's like me.
Yeah,
and I guess it all just depends.
You develop a parasocial relationship with them through the music where you're like, oh, I want to be in the club with Drake. Yeah. Like,
yeah. But if you think that Drake is, like, his personality is somebody that you wouldn't hang out with in real life or that you wouldn't tolerate, then
when he's
that
like, me in the club popping bottles, it's like, nah, we, me and you, we.
Exactly. I mean, that's just how I look at it. I mean, I think that's what it comes down to. Somebody who can, in 2021, still listen to Lil Wayne and listen to Kanye, I feel like they could probably tolerate a Trump supporter in their life, personally.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying I can't. I you know, like, I absolutely can't. So, like, for me, it's like I can't. When I go back and listen to College Dropout, you know, I smoke too much weed maybe or something, but my brain just can't help but connect what I'm hearing to what I know now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I can always appreciate it for the art that it is, but it just has that little bit of difference from when you're watching a movie because, you know, it's like, hey, John Wayne's not playing John Wayne or whatever fucking movie you're watching. You can try your hardest. You can just more easily lose yourself in the fantasy of a movie or a book if it's written by somebody that you, well, maybe not a book. A book kind of has the same sort of vibe.
If you think Wayne's endorsement might have been a ploy to secure the pardon, you are probably right. You're most likely right. But Wayne's lawyer, Bradford Cohen, denies the speculation, or at least he did to the NYT. He said, it never hurts that someone gets a full understanding of an individual when they're looking at a piece of paper. In hindsight, I guess it worked out. I think they have a very strong connection. He's in the entertainment world. He's got a style that is similar in terms of the way he carries himself. And a lot of rappers and people in the industry relate to that.
We've been saying that since the start of this show. These rappers fuck with Trump, yo.
And I saw this tweet that I thought captured the significance of these particular pardons perfectly. In essence, it said, the failure of black capitalism as a vehicle for black liberation is not seen anywhere as clearly as in Trump pardoning a couple of black millionaires like Weezy and Kodak, while also pardoning his rich white supremacist cronies like Bannon. They are, to these people, all a part of the same class. It's all a big club.
Who said that? That is Bravo shit right there.
I don't know, some bitch like, hell yeah, girl, oh, yeah. Get it. I hope you live and thrive for
that's
all
what's up.
It is. But yeah, I mean,
I agree. I 100% agree with you. That's what it is. That's why it's like, you know, it's why you shouldn't trust these rappers, man. You really shouldn't. Fucking Fabulous had a really dope line in a song back in the day where he said, a lot of these rappers say that they're for the hood. They're not. They're just from the hood. Not everybody who's from the hood is for the hood. And I feel like this hip hop flirtation with MAGAism is like encapsulates that quote to a T.
Yeah.
This isn't the first time that a disgraced, unpopular Republican president handed out confusing pardons to random rappers as he limped out of office in shame. Back in 2008, Fuji's affiliate John Forte was among those pardoned by George W. Bush as he left office. Now, Forte was arrested back in 2000 for carrying a suitcase filled with $1.4 million of liquid cocaine in the Newark International Airport.
Huge, like, let me just stop you right there for a second and say, yo.
The liquid, the shit that looked like a bomb. Yeah.
Yo. That's amazing. I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy.
He had a single out and everything. For the life of me, I'm usually good with this, but I would just like do a really high pitched bad singing of the hook, but I can't remember it for the life of me. But
I just the audacity. You really got to marvel at the audacity. But yeah, he was convicted.
You have a record on the radio, though, word.
What you doing, Bubba? 1.4 million.
Come on, man.
Jesus Christ.
He was convicted with the intent to distribute charge and was given a mandatory minimum of 14 years in prison. So with over a decade having passed since Forte has been pardoned, there's been more light drawn onto the situation. And I'm sure that's pretty much what's going to happen with Wayne and Kodak. We'll get all the details. Yeah. You know, no one's going to talk about that shit right now. In Forte's case, during his travels as a rapper, he had become really good friends, almost best friends, with a guy named Ben Taylor. And Ben Taylor's mother is famed singer-songwriter Carly Simon. And she, through her resources and personal connects, was able to lobby Bush to get, you know, a pardon for John Forte. She's since written exclusively about it. There's a Vanity Fair article from 2013 titled Brooklyn Bard, where she refers to John Forte as her godson. I mean, the whole entire article is dedicated to this entire situation of her life and getting John Forte out of jail and stuff like that. It's a really interesting read. But what are your thoughts on this? This one seems like a bit more, I mean, I don't want to say it's on the level, but I mean,
it is on the level. It's a big problem. You ain't in it. Whether or not they're like using black people as like political props to like cement key like support within key demographics, or it's a matter of someone well connected through a friend of a friend using their social capital, which is accrued through being a millionaire, to, you know, lobby a president for a pardon. Like, this is all these motherfuckers, they are on the same team and we are not on it with them.
That is true. That is definitely true. The sad thing is that I don't think John Forte ever made any more albums, but we're definitely going to get a bunch of Kodak Black and Lil Wayne songs.
Yeah. Can't wait.
So there's that.
Yeah.
No matter the case, all those pardons until otherwise revealed are within the immense pardon powers of the sitting president. And I don't think that there's been a modern president that has like flexed that as much as Trump has. I mean, the rappers aside, it's interesting. It's funny because, you know, it's a hip hop show and stuff. But I mean, the mere fact that Trump just brazenly pardoned Blackwater mass murderers is not, like, for real. The fact that anyone talks about anything other than that is bonkers. You know what I'm saying? This shit is fucking crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the news cycle I sense accelerated both based on like what the media environment is like now and also just the amount of fucking crazy things happening in the last 4 years. And I feel like that like hyper acceleration is just going to become the norm now, even if like perhaps less insane things happen constantly because we have slightly more competent leadership.
That is the ultimate dog whistle to me, though. Is those that pardon to those guys more than anything that Trump, and Trump is somebody who like woke up in the morning randomly and tweeted out white power. But I think that like,
I almost forgot about that sometimes.
I think pardoning some mass murderers who killed Iraqi women and children in cold blood, proven, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's pretty much just saying, hey, it's okay to kill brown people in a nutshell. That's the and
like
that's
I know
the message
I implied it before, but in case you were still wondering, even to you know,
yeah, weapons free. Go ahead.
Like just, if you were like, oh no, no, he doesn't think that. Like I just want to make sure you know. I believe mass slaughter of foreigns is okay by me. Like yeah, unequivocally.
Now, speaking of presidential power, did you want to talk a little bit of some of the flexing that Biden's been doing?
Sure, yeah. Let's skip over this NRA stuff. Okay. Stuff to kind of burn out.
Why don't you go ahead and intro that?
Sure. So, actually, let me see if I can find a wiki real quick.
I do believe it's 30 so far.
Yeah.
So
let's get into another immense presidential power that's been on display to great lengths in the last week, which is the power of executive order. So an executive order is a means of issuing federal directives by the president of the United States to manage the operations of the federal government. Article 2 of the United States Constitution gives the president broad executive and enforcement authority to use his or her discretion to determine how to enforce the law or otherwise manage the resources and staff of the executive branch. So, it's like, I guess limited, like executive orders are limited to like things within the executive branch or the operations of the government that they can control. They can't just like decree new laws for all of us too.
Yeah.
That's why, for example, one of his executive orders was a mask mandate on federal property. Cause it's like, okay, if these are federal buildings that are run by the federal government, then we can like force people there, but we can't like do it in say state capitals or something like that.
They also kind of leave the policy open to being altered whenever a new administration comes in because they can just pass executive orders and change everything up.
Yeah.
That's a concern that I feel is a bit more relevant to 8 years ago. That really doesn't matter right now anymore. We'll get into that in a little bit. Some of these executive orders that he put out, Joe Biden had signed a flurry of these. I believe it was like 20 the first day. And he had like 20 more the next day. He's signing executive orders out the gate. Some people are kind of wondering why are they doing it this way instead of rolling it out one at a time to extend the news story and keep a headline the way that Trump did. How it would be one day, hey, I'm going to not feed children. Then the next day it was like, hey, transgenders are illegal. And then the next day he's like, hey, Mexicans need to leave. Like, people were expecting Joe Biden to kind of make these corrections on a daily basis to make headlines. But I actually like the strategy of just doing all of it at once, just from the get-go, because A, you're getting more done quicker. And then, let's just keep it real, people are stupid. And if you start doing these things one by one, I can totally see people getting upset that their particular issue isn't getting rectified first. And how do you...
I mean, that was going to be my question to you as someone that's followed politics for a little bit longer than I have. When presidential candidates, or any candidate for that matter, says they're going to do something on day one, is that a rhetorical flourish? Because, like, he got a lot of shit done on day one, but, like, the kids are still in cages. Like, and if I'm not mistaken on the campaign trail, like, dealing with migrant family separation and detainment was something he claimed to like, I'm gonna do on day one. So like, I'm not saying like, I just wanna understand what these people mean when they say that. He never meant that, and it's just like, oh, everyone else understands that he just meant like, soon. And cool, but things can be done on day one.
I don't know this for a fact, but I think that when they say day one, they kind of mean the first 100 days.
It's definitely
rhetorical. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, as much as I would love for Biden to just go in there and like wave the wand and undo stuff, I personally don't necessarily want authoritarianism that I agree with. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I still would want him to, like, I wouldn't want him to fucking strong arm the shit the way Trump did.
Mm.
But to a certain extent, I kind of do want him to strong arm the shit the way Trump did, because I don't believe that we can work with Republicans anymore. So I don't know.
That's where my head was at as you were saying.
You know
that.
What I'm saying? Yeah. It's like sometimes I find myself slipping into this shit, thinking that it's 2012 and that we're talking about Mitt Romney and shit. And it's like, no, we're talking about literal Nazis. So yeah, you know, I actually, the more that I think about this in my head, I agree with strong arming it, and I think that that should be the way. Because I mean, it's not like the Republicans aren't going to strong arm shit the next time that they get power. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like,
or like immediately.
Yeah, immediately.
You know?
I mean, if they just tried to overturn the election violently.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you can pretty much expect the next time that there's a Republican president, on day one, there's going to be executive orders like, now you're allowed to eat poor people. It's going to be crazy. They're just going to like go full mask off with it. But let's get into some of these, you know, some of these that Biden has passed, some of the interesting ones.
Yeah. So day one, he signed an executive order rejoining the Paris Agreement on climate change. Side, you know, like ain't no Green New Deal or nothing, but it's one of his top campaign promises. Okay, sure. I don't know. What's your thoughts on that? Like, I feel like it's the bare minimum. And like I said,
yeah, I mean, that's one of the
bare minimum. Feels great because it's like not getting punched in the face anymore after getting punched in the face every day for the last 4 years.
And it is the first day, so
yeah.
You know, but I mean, again, like there's a lot of these corrective things that have to be done that are really just kind of what's the word that I'm looking for? It's really just kind of window dressing in a way, because some of the real corrections that they have to do within the damage that Trump did is like not just as easy as signing an executive order.
Sure. Yeah. Executive orders do seem expansive in their power, but they aren't really. It's just like...
They aren't. I mean, to be honest with you, we were making fun of of Trump and his flurry of executive orders for just how like useless they truly were. So
it's a good
feel-good thing, and it's a good symbolic thing. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure in most cases, there are a lot of cases that it's actually making tangible differences and corrections and stuff like that. But for the most part, it feels good to like stick it to the maggots, like, haha, we coming in and we just changing all y'all's shit. You know what I mean? That feels good.
And they're
good.
Feeling it. They're like, oh my God, you're going to have transgenders back in the military? This is what you call unity? You know,
and nervous breakdowns.
I love it. Go for it.
Oh, I was going to say this one, the executive order. It's another immigration one, but the executive order revising immigration enforcement policies, revoking Trump era policy that cracked down on communities shielding undocumented immigrants from deportation.
That's what's up.
Yeah, I like that. There was also another one that he signed that pretty much makes Liberians undeportable for like the next 3 or 4 years.
Oh, so congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Got family that thanks you for that.
You made it. A lot of immigration stuff. Memorandum strengthening DACA.
Well, you can see where most of the Trump administration's focus was.
Yeah. As well, they pulled funds for the border wall.
Cancel the Keystone Pipeline.
I think that's pretty dope. Because it's like Dakota Access Pipeline next. Ooh. Maybe, you know, it's like one of those that points towards perhaps better things to come in future.
Yeah.
Whereas like the, you know, getting back in the Paris Climate Accords feels like they're going to just like do that and then stop. We did it. Hooray. Like, you know.
They've also terminated federal funding for private prisons.
Which is pretty dope. I mean, prisons are still terrible. And all of them should go.
It doesn't affect ICE.
ICE
has kind of become its own paramilitary organization.
It's
at this point.
Like with a grain of salt of like understanding their true scope.
The president's not a king, you know? Like the president's not a king.
Yeah.
In moments when you're coming off the high of being on the winning side of a political victory, it can sometimes, you know, feel good to like imagine, oh man, wouldn't it just be cool if the president was actually a king and then we could just do all this cool dope shit that I like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you just got to keep in mind that the pendulum always swings no matter what, no matter what. And you guys have seen what these people are capable of. So yeah. This isn't saying we shouldn't do anything because, you know, just like I said with in prior episodes, there's nothing that the right wingers are going to do that they were going to change their mind of because it wasn't done to them first.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So.
Can I just say my personal favorite, executive order, ban discrimination on the basis of gender identity or sexual orientation. In a move lauded by LGBTQ advocates, Biden's order extends federal non-discrimination protections to members of the LGBTQ community, building off the landmark Supreme Court decision in Bostock versus Clayton County, Georgia last year to expand protections against discrimination based on sex in federal agencies to also include sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression as well. And why I really like this, I mean, I think it's important, but like from just like a purely like lizard brain standpoint, like I heard about it because I heard TERFs and transphobes were really pissed.
Yeah.
And like after Biden's talk about, you know, at the inauguration about like unity and all of us coming together, I was like, all right, cool. Maybe he is willing to piss off the right people. Like people like me. Oh, he's like willing to make bad people angry, sick. Cause that's going to be really important for us to like get shit done that brings everyone, that brings us true unity that is only possible through justice. And so I was like, fuck yeah, cool. Maybe like, will they piss off some white supremacists? Maybe piss off Proud Boys?
I think that Joe Biden wants to go down with like, I think he's thinking of his shit like in terms of legacy and stuff like that. So I think he's going to do whatever he thinks is going to be good politics. You know what I'm saying? So if that's where the political winds are blowing, I think that's where he's going to be at. And right now the political winds, I think, are telling him to piss off some of the right people. You know what I mean?
Just piss off just a couple of folks. So that the left maybe like, you know, doesn't quite hate you for all your talk of unity without accountability.
Before we get into this music discussion, talk to them about your thoughts about the $1,400 and $600 2000 stimulus.
Yo, so this talk about 1400 stimmy, like, I just don't like being made a liar, okay? I was out here knocking on doors all over Athens and all over the state, literally telling people, like, they'll give you $2,000 because that's what they said. They will give you, and not just $2,000, $2,000 check. Warnock tweeted out a picture of a check with $2,000 on it and was like, do you want this? Vote for me, which ethically questionable. But, you know, in terms of like concrete, like legible material benefit for people that are struggling right now, it might not like, oh, living wage increase. I'm not sure, like, you know, I already make $1,445. I don't know what that means for me. Or like, oh, like, you know, ending private prisons, for as an example. Like, oh, that sounds cool. I don't really, you know, so, and like, everybody can use fucking $2,000 right now. And I fucking told them when they asked, you know, like, well, the thing that matters for me is COVID relief. And these motherfuckers said they're gonna give you a $2,000 check. And Joe Biden came down here and told us they were gonna give us a $2,000 check. We're not gonna ask. I was like, you get us in there immediately. And that's the other thing. Is that they were like, immediately, it's like, vote for us, they'll swear us in, we'll get you your $2,000 immediately. That was the messaging. And now we're talking about $1,400 by like April? I just feel personally upset because, like, I don't like lying to people. Y'all make me lie to people. I believed you, and I'm fucking us out here talking to people for you about it.
Even the mention that they're even thinking about doing that is stupid, and they should just go with the $2,000.
Because here's the thing: like, look at all these executive actions that are like pretty good. But you know what? It's hard to explain when I'm out canvassing in the hood why the fuck it mattered for back in the Paris Climate Agreement. Ain't nobody give a shit if you got a fucking wear a mask on federal property, I couldn't even point to you a piece of federal property over in on the blog.
But for one thing I will say, though,
people were going to remember that. People are going to fucking remember that.
They will. But one thing I will say is that Joe Biden has been president for 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
Hard to believe. Just, yeah.
He's been that's all I'm saying, is that he's been president for 7 days, which is not a long time. I don't know. I think politically, I don't even think this should be a discussion. Like, I don't think that anyone should even be questioning whether these just need to be $2,000 checks. But realistically, it's just like, I don't know. It's not like a deal breaker with me right now.
I think it's just incredibly politically stupid.
Yeah, it's super politically stupid. I just don't think it's like, ha 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 ha, we fleeced you, and now we won't get, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
At least that's not what I think, but I mean, I don't begrudge anybody else for feeling that way, though.
It's just so funny because the discourse has always been like, oh, you know, don't criticize Biden right now. He's got to make it through the presidential election.
Well, anybody who's saying don't criticize Biden right now can eat a dick.
But it's funny. It's because the people with the political savvy to realize they're shooting themselves in the foot for 20, you know, like, because the one of the forthcoming steps along that process or this on this hamster wheel is like, don't criticize Biden. Like, we got to win 2022 and like keep the Senate in the House. Or like expand our margin in the House, or actually take the Senate by, you know, actual, you know, number of seats.
Yeah.
And it's like, y'all are the ones already fucking up. It's not my criticizing you that pushed you into this position where like people are going to hate you because you lied to them.
Well, if for people out there who are progressive, I feel like if you are hoping for Biden to go more left, then you should continue to hope that the Republicans divulge into this QAnon madness shit that they're doing and just like become completely unreasonable to work with in every facet, all of them. And then I think, you know, the Democrats might straighten up a little bit.
We'll see about it. But you trying to talk about some music?
Hold on, we'll get at the music discussion right after the jump.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. So this, Matt, we're going to first listen to a track that Macklemore dropped. I believe this was on Biden's inauguration day that Macklemore dropped this. It made some noise on the internet. A lot of people were upset. I don't understand why, but let's take a little listen.
Big truck driving, blue lives matter, talking shit about the riots.
Everybody was, you know what? Like, okay, I don't necessarily fuck with Macklemore's style.
I don't necessarily fuck with Macklemore, yeah.
But I appreciate Macklemore. I really do. I'm not like saying that like as a joke or facetiously. Like, because of Macklemore, I had my little cousin ask me, who's Grandmaster Caz? You know what I'm saying? Because Macklemore put motherfuckers in their video and shouts motherfuckers out. And I think his heart's in the right place. This is actually, I don't know what the big deal is.
Yeah,
you know?
I tend to not give people points for having their hearts in the right place. Like, I only fuck with smart people. and, like, he doesn't have a great track record of that. But, like, I appreciate that anybody being like, I don't give a fuck if I lose you as a fan. If you, like, stay silent in the face of, you know, this shit. And calling out both sides, you know, calling out the liberals that are going back to brunch, calling out Ryan in his like lifted truck coughing in the face of a gas station attendant or whatever. Like,
I just know nobody was talking about the content of what Macklemore was saying, and everybody was saying that it was cringe and it was cringe and it was cringe. And that was the word I kept hearing associated with this track more than anything is, oh, it's cringe. Oh, it's cringe. Now, I've been listening to rap music for a long, 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 long time. If this Macklemore shit was the shit that you heard this week in the world of hip-hop that made you cringe, I dare say you're not listening to enough hip-hop. Because some of these motherfuckers will listen to a motherfucker freestyle and go, alright, peace,
cringe.
Y'all.
I can perceive it as cringe in that it's preachy. And like, some people don't listen to music to like hear a rapper's opinion about shit.
I don't understand that.
And I don't understand that, yeah.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, so.
I mean, again, I can listen to it and I can be like, oh yeah, I don't fuck with that. Why? Oh, he wasn't rhyming enough and like, I don't like the way he was flowing to the beat. Or nah, that style was too slow. I thought he should have come faster over that beat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or yo, that one line there was like, nah, I don't fuck with that line. That line didn't make no sense or something like that. But I don't know. If a rapper raps and your response is like, oh, that's cringe, I don't care what the rapper was rapping about or what the rapper was saying. As a hip-hop head, I'm probably not listening to a word that, you know, the person who's given that opinion is like, okay, it cringe, that's your summation of this beautiful art form that we love. Is this cringe? That's all you got to say? Get the fuck out of here with that shit.
And it was like, you know, for a freestyle, it was like, well, I mean, aesthetically,
I
didn't expect it to be. When I thought, like, when I came into it assuming it was going to be cringe, I thought it was because it was going to be bad rapping.
Yeah, me too.
And it
me
wasn't too. Really. I mean, it wasn't like exemplary.
It wasn't good rapping.
Like, come on, you know?
It was regular bars. It was Macklemore regular bars. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And there's so many trash bars out there that, like, when you get a good, hearty, meaty set of just regular bars, it's like,
it could feel like a full course meal.
Well, okay. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ, I'm sweating. Let me lay down.
Okay. Up next, we got Kodak Black with his track Last Day In, which I guess was recorded after his pardon. Let's hear it.
Tired of living crazy, boy, you famous, no. I'm just trying to spend my Easter in Miami, and I need it.
Okay, Kodak Black shouldn't sing, ever.
No, never.
No, never. No. Just want to get that out there real quick.
All right, cut that. Cut that.
Oh! No, like, I mean, I don't even want to hit, because I know, like, or at least I seem to recall that, like, you don't like sing rappers, period.
But that's not why I don't like that.
That was just, like, yo, Kendrick pulled off, fucking Anderson .Paak, obviously, like, that's his whole lane. Like, there's precedent set that it can be done.
Look.
Unfortunately, I would almost rather the entire subgenre of sing rapping be abolished just so I would not have to have heard that.
Yo, I'm not a fan of sing rap, but it is what it is. I can appreciate it when it's done well. That was just bad, Joe. And, like, I want to talk about it because, like, I think that he's talking about wanting to see a lover out of jail.
He talks about, like, you didn't even call and check on me, which, like, is a thing. You know, he's in prison and shit.
But like, that execution is no.
Like, you know.
I'm sorry. If you want to say that I'm just not hip and I just, like, I don't get it, then fine. But that shit was whack, yo. Like, I'm sorry. I was not fucking with that.
Let's see how Lil Wayne's new song holds up.
But am I tripping about that song, though? Like, that was whack, right?
The
last day out.
Oh no, that was totally, that was bullshit. That was
okay. Garbage. That was trash. Yeah, all right. We're sorry.
We're sorry we did that too. But you know, we gotta see what people do with their freedom when they get out.
Exactly. Let's hear what Lil Wayne has to say on his new.
Yeah, I have a little bit higher hopes for this cat. Ain't got time.
I was high as fuck yesterday. Damn, time flies. Where am I am it. I can't live when I think too much.
Did the pardon just make niggas not want to rap?
I mean, the something happened to him on the inside. Okay, we need to put the whole rap game on hold.
Yo.
Until we figure out what's going on with these niggas, because, like,
Trump got these niggas hitting high notes.
I'm really scared for them. What happened?
Yo, that was hot garbage.
Yo, I'm really worried about them. What's going on?
Okay, let me see. How do I put that into words? That was bad. It was bad. I don't know. I don't even know what to say. It's like, it's hard to even get into this shit. It's just, I believe it was Forrest Whitaker who once said, "This sucks the sweat off a dead man's balls." I don't even know what the fuck that shit means, but it sounds appropriate for this shit.
I mean, I'm looking at the lyrics right now for, like, some of the clever wordplay. Like, I've always loved his, like, ability with metaphor, his, like, punchlines. They raided
anything?
My private plane, went and got one that's more privater. Good job. RIP Juice WRLD, rolled it on two cups, pour a little juice for him. Shit gave me goosebumps.
Wait, when he says pour a little juice for him, is he talking about pouring more lean? I mean, isn't that inappropriate?
It's kind of fucked up, bro. It's kind of fucked up, my man.
Keep going. Anything else?
Not really.
Nah, there's like, no. Did he mention Trump at all?
No, I mean, he talks about, like, you know, the FBI, getting arrested by the FBI, trying to hide from them, getting high as fuck. That's it.
Okay, the Lil Wayne song was better than the Kodak song, but they were both not dope, in my opinion.
They were both not dope. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed. You know what? The last rapper,
Lil Wayne, you know, yeah.
The last rapper who put out, like, a joint right after they got out of jail that I really dug was Gucci Man with the track First Day Out in 2015 or 2016.
But nigga, I can't wait on the chance to kill my enemies and beat my case. So when they ask me,
yo, there's something about his flow on that just slays me.
Exactly. I've been listening to that shit for, like, the last, like, 4 years.
Yeah, he's like, yo, I just got out of jail, I know how to just, like, take my time.
Cause that's sober Gucci.
In a jail cell a day, an hour out in the yard.
That's so
rush for shit.
that's sober, I don't do lean, no more Gucci, like when he was fresh out on probation, like, so I just gotta like sit there with the pen and really fucking get busy with it. And I mean, after just listening to all three of those back to back, I mean, even one of the joints has the same name as his song, and Gucci slayed both of those tracks. Easy.
Correction, this is called First Day Out.
It's called First Day Out?
Yeah, Kodak's on his Last Day In.
Okay, Last Day In, First Day Out.
Yeah. It's confusing.
He killed it.
Get out of jail and put out that kind of shit. Goddamn.
Yeah, I mean, when you don't take favors from the fascists and you just do your time, you know what I'm saying? Hey,
your bars
come out a better rapper. Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. We got one more new joint. This is by MCN, I guess fellow podcaster too, Talib Kweli featuring Afro and Diamond D. Far out, bar out. Let's check this out. Write him like I'm locked in a cell. Rap Salvador Dali and Monk Crawl Sally with the one track mind. She was going back to Cali. This is a nice boom bap track. I remember hearing this interview with Rakim once, and he was breaking down how his, you know, he took a lot of his cues from jazz. So he always envisions his rhyming like a sax playing on the track. Like the way that, you know, and he's a trained saxophone player too. So like he always imagines his raps being like a saxophone playing on the track. And that Talib song, this Far Out Bar Out joint, gives me that sort of vibe where it's like you said, it's not necessarily that anyone's saying much, but it's an exercise in like flow. You know what I'm saying?
It's a beautiful exercise, a masterful exercise.
Exactly.
That's a great way to say that. And yeah, and the lyric, the little lyric video is cute too. So go check that out on YouTube.
Yeah, check that shit out. Yeah, I believe that is it for us today.
You know, hit us up on Instagram, iHeartReparations. You hit me up, Lingua Franca, or what's yours? You're at underscore dope knife.
I'm at dope underscore knife.
Dope underscore knife. Yeah, hit us up if you got ideas. What do you want to hear about? On the side of policy, on the side of music, you know. This is your show too?
Oh, something that somebody gave me a good idea for that we are going to start doing in this episode is, since we have yet to figure out how to link a playlist of some sort along with the podcast,
I'm sure there's an easy way to do it. We're just dumb and lazy.
We're going to start writing the songs that we talk about within the episode description. Want to go check this out, because some of y'all be hitting me up to, you know, ask. First of all, y'all hit me up to say, hey, can you tell me the songs that you guys are talking about? I'm like, yo, can't you listen to this shit? we're gonna start including the songs in the episode description, so if you want to go find those, you can look for those. And in the future, like I said, one day we'll have like an official Waiting on Reparations playlist that updates every fucking week with new songs and all that sort of jazz. All right, I feel like rapping. Joel, let's get a beat. Yo, I'm usually be a loner, but right now I got a larger crew looking at Biden. Can a nigga get a pardon too? Give one to my mother and a couple for my squad'll do. It'll come in handy, cause I was thinking of robbing you. It's just a joke, I ain't doing crime, I just use a rhyme. I'm too short and pretty, I ain't doing time. But if Trump offered me a pardon, would I true decline? I don't know, you decide. Who am I? It's the knife, the dopest one. Got the smoking lung. I spit it slick with the golden tongue. I just tell it how it is, say I'm hating for it. Give me reparations now, sick of waiting for it. Waiting on reparations. Dope, 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 dope.
I'm Lingua Franca.
And I'm Dope Knife. We are Waiting on Reparations. See you next week. Waiting on Reparations is a production of iHeartRadio.
Listen to Waiting on Reparations on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States.
In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.